Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Happy weekend, Eve, everyone. Welcome to episode 31. Many of you know I like to acquaint episode number with a theme, often having some meaning based off of the episode number. No such creativity this time, kids. But it is historical in a couple of ways. First face-to-face interview in a couple of months now that the pandemic restrictions are loosening. And first interview recorded outside. Boston Steve from the new Books and Brews house band H2O. He's an incredible musician and a hell of a lot of fun person. We were set to meet earlier this week, mid-afternoon, at one of the many fine local coffee shops. About an hour beforehand, he calls and says, "Hey, since it's a nice day, Barrel House patio's open, and we can have some bourbon." So we did. Now, you can tell that my guest had a microphone, and it wasn't recorded using any meeting-type platform, you know, Zoom, etc. So the quality, mucho better, no lag time. Just a fun time with Steve. But as the Barrel House is a great restaurant with a well-stocked bar, patio has speakers for music that they play for the patrons. Younger patrons than me, you might hear some of that in the background, and with it being contemporary, a few times where there's a driving beat. Yes, Dick Clark has a good beat and I can dance to it. I give it, well, probably much less than the younger crowd. Oh my God, I sound like an old codger. Okay, first-time listeners, my name is Dave Holly. Every Thursday, I love to have Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment conversations. It is my passion talking arts and entertainment about local things, typically two guests. Now, I knew that when I booked Steve, I was not going to need a second guest. Also, first-timers, each week, we give a nice shout-out to someone, something that made me smile, giggle, laugh, make me cry happy tears, and we call it Honorable Mention. On this program, Honorable Mention is truly deserved, not a participation award or just a, hey, nice job, but you didn't place and get a medal or anything. No siree. You are top-notch, A-number-one, if you are given the coveted Honorable Mention on the Dave Holly Hour. And this week's award goes to Angela Cole, Travis Graham, and the H2O house band, the anonymous donor, and all the staff at Books and Brews Pizzeria and Speakeasy. When they closed their doors about a week into the pandemic, it hurt. And mind you, they weren't closing just for the virus to play out. They were closing for good. Then within a few weeks, some guy they'd never met calls and says he's heard great things about their pizza, wants to help them get back up and running. Well, after their special event this past Saturday, they're not just running. They are running like Forrest Gump. They've made a few changes, tweaked the pizza menu to include the favorite pizza for the unpaid staff here at the Dave Holly Hour. It's called the Podcaster. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got it for me. I could go on and on about how great the event was, how awesome their pizza is, etc. For those that have been there, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't been there, consider this your tease to go find out for yourself. All right? You owe it to yourself. Great time. Once again, congrats to everyone at Books and Brews Pizzeria and Speakeasy on being this week's honorable mention. When we come back, a conversation with Boston Steve of H2O.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
Happy weekend, Eve. Another Thursday has arrived, and that's going to be a great night out at the Barrel House, because that means Boston Steve is going to be playing there. And Boston Steve and I have recently gotten to know each other. We're getting to know each other a little bit better because we're recording this today from the Barrel House. And you know how I've said in the past that I always drink my Jack Daniels when I'm at home in the studio and doing the editing and so forth. Well, today, instead of being at a beer house, we're at a Barrel House. Cheers to you, Boston Steve. Thank you for the drink.
Cheers, David. Thanks for the invite.
It is Jack Daniels Diet with a Lime, and it is mighty fine. And we're here to have a little bit of fun, because this man is all about fun. I tell you what, seen you a few times. You are now part of the official H2O house band at our friends at Books and Brews. And they had an elegant event the other night that we were a part of. And you just like to take the stage, own it in a great way, but own it for the fans. All the people that are there, you want to make sure are happy. What do you enjoy most about being up there?
Now that's a really great opening question. I have to put you in the atmosphere so you understand the verbal answer to that question. We're sitting out on the back deck at the Barrel House. Slight breeze. It is beautiful. Sun is just starting to creep through the clouds. Dave arrived a little bit before me because he wanted to be prepared. And what's really odd about the whole thing is we both have Hawaiian shirts on, which makes it even cooler.
With no memo.
With no memo. And when we chatted at Books and Brews, we said no script. And that was my preference. And Dave said that's the way he likes to fly the airplane. So what a great question. And I would have to say this, just so you know, at Books and Brews, I was upstaged by this beautiful woman with long hair and black boots on and nylons and this beautiful black skirt. And of course, Dave's laughing because that was his one and only better half. And then Dave was there with the black and white Prohibition shoes, purple socks, black pants, a multicolored shirt that could only be bought once in a lifetime, and you can't get it on Amazon, and a jacket, and he kind of upstaged me that night. But that is what I look for when I play to a crowd. It's not about what I can do musically on guitar or vocally or what my I have the pleasure of playing with Dan Haygood, one of the best sax players in Sioux Falls, and Victor Faini, who is an incredible keyboard player. And what we did at Brooks and Brews that night, and that's why I appreciate Dave and his wife so much, is we look right away to the crowd, try to connect, and the greatest thing for me is not what goes in the tip jar or what we got paid, but when the audience said, I left with a memory. And I feel Dave kind of said that night right. I think we left an impression on folks, and they kind of felt like they were part of the band. But I'd let you elaborate on that, Dave. How did you feel sitting front row center?
Absolutely incredible. I mean, first of all, Chef Lance had this phenomenal menu.
Absolutely.
Five courses, each with a paired beer or wine, and then at the end, champagne. And it was, for a diabetic, first of all, I knew it was going to be tough, so I upped my insulin before going. Glad I did. I came out fine and dandy, but it was the most wonderful food my body has had in a long time. And I love to cook myself. My wife loves to cook.
Oh, me too. I'm a chef.
But
when he brought out the cheese curds for the band ahead of time, I don't know if you guys got the cheese curds.
The cheese curds on the burger.
Oh, my goodness.
It's amazing.
To die for.
So you have that going on. And you made note of this when you got up there then about Travis.
Yes.
Angela and Travis are the people that take care of everybody at Books and Brews, and are phenomenal people. They are the type that when you go there, if you don't know them, by the end of the night, you've probably met them and become friends. The other thing is they are generous people. And when they were closed there during the first part of this pandemic, it was literally heartbreaking for some of us. And as a friend of ours said when it came out that they were going to be back, thanks to an anonymous donor, she goes, our Cheers is back. And so then when Travis is dressed in a tuxedo vest, bow tie, tux shirt, and a black pandemic mask, haircut, and no metal coming out of anything, that was a sight to be seen.
I got to interrupt you just for a second, Dave. That no medal deserves a little bit of extra commentation here. I've known Angela and Travis forever. Travis is your typical Harley-Davidson biker. I mean, loves his Harley, loves his rides and everything else. Not an extreme large amount of tattoos, but yes. Yes, there was metal protruding, and when I had to comment to him, I said, man, do you clean up really good. I just want to add to what Dave said, is not only did he look fantastic that night and extremely professional, and just they did a great job, the whole staff, Brock behind the bar, everything, but I don't know if Travis is ever going to go back to that metal again after all the compliments he got.
I'm wondering that too, because it literally was like a transformation. It's like, what, were you on the Today Show when they did the ambush? What amazing.
That's good. The Today Show is a perfect analogy. Perfect analogy, yeah.
So that was a great part of it, too. And all the service that came along with it, the fine dining, the different beers, the different wines, the champagne, all fun. And it just has what they're looking for is that this will become a speakeasy. And that's why some of us had the speakeasy-type garb on. And I just think it's great for two reasons. First, to have a speakeasy in that location. I mean, that is just a fun place to be anyway, next to the tracks. It's got such a potential for such a liveliness to it. Especially when you add the fact that now H2O is a house band.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there any other quote-unquote house bands in Sioux Falls at this time? I can't think of any.
I'd have to just give you a little history. We moved here about 3 years ago, and I've seen many artists. I thought ahead of time today. I don't want to name them because I would feel so bad if I left somebody out.
Right?
But you know, see, Dave, Dave gets it here, audience. I want you to know this guy is a wannabe Bon Jovi right here. He understands the music business, or he could be the next future Diana Krall on the male part. But it's kind of funny that Sioux Falls, when I first looked at coming down here, 270,000 people in the greater metropolitan area. So I expected it to be like Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Atlanta, Georgia, Boston, Massachusetts, where I took my name, Boston Steve, from. And I was like, you know what, sweetheart, to my better half, obviously better half, when we go there, it's going to be great because we can probably go out on Monday night and see jazz, Tuesday night see blues, line dance on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, probably listen to some killer rock and roll and blues, and Sunday afternoon we'll just go have unlimited Bloody Marys and mimosas to some great 80-year-old musician on a jazz piano. And I say this not to critique Sioux Falls, because their jazz fest when it was going was one of the best I've ever seen in this whole country. But I understand 15, 20 years ago, Sioux Falls was very, very lively, and there might have been house bands back then. I know I've heard of Wakefield, some of the other bands that were around back then. The old Pomp Room I've heard a lot about. But today in Sioux Falls, it seems like karaoke and DJ is a little more prominent than the live music. And the reason I look for that house band, and no, I haven't seen one. I've seen some great solos, duos, trios, and some great bands, and I've had the privilege for opening up for some local bands here at big events. And I think the house band thing was the thing of the past, and I'm trying to bring it back for this reason. When you have a house band, you know what you're going to see before you get your reservations or you go there. You get to know the guys personally, and they know you personally as the audience, and that's a biggie with me. And as I said, when we played there, we played their actual closing, and then we played their opening.
Yeah.
And I made the announcement that if there's a song you want to hear, you let us know. And if we don't have it the following Saturday night, your dinner and your drinks are on us. And some people thought I was kidding. And I sincerely mean that. Now, nowhere in there, Dave, did I say we're going to sound exactly like the original
right.
that you requested. But if you request Tiny Tim Tiptoe Through the Tulips, you're getting Tiny Tim the next Saturday. And I'm hoping the listeners out there don't all of a sudden come out in the masses and say, let's play Stump the Chump with this guy. But if you do, it just means I got to stay up later at night and do my homework.
That's right. Remember the old Stump the Band that Carson had on the Tonight Show?
And how much fun was that?
That was excellent. Yeah, that was just phenomenal. First of all, he's my hero.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, he was the best. There will never be anybody even close. But anyway, so such great fun. House band now. I am so thankful for that. Thinking similar things, and that's even despite the fact that I love to karaoke. Just the fact that I know there's a lot of people that play regularly at different places here in town, but it is nice to actually be able to say those words. Oh, and then the promotion of it, too, you know, to be able to tell people, and they say, why do you love Books and Brews so much? I could say, well, first of all, the pizza's phenomenal. You're not going to find anything anywhere
number
else close
one,
to it.
Number one, Dave.
Second of all, great staff that'll treat you so well and provide true customer service. And then now we can say, and they got a great house band, too. And you can go there. And I liked one of the things that you basically said at the beginning. It's like, you know, we'll play anywhere from the 20s on up. And you will go anywhere, Louis Armstrong, Frank Sinatra. In fact, this man is so talented, people. He can take Prince, Purple Rain, and make it dinner music.
Absolutely, we did that. And that's, you know, that's the fun of it. And I don't know, Dave, this is a great time to just probably throw this out there. I don't ever go to a place to judge the place or the entertainment or the service or anything else. But I want to be honest. We all do that, whether we admit it or not. And I appreciate a good musician. And if they play their instrument particularly well, I'm in. If you sing, and I want to say, when I say particularly well, I mean average or above average. You know, I'm in. My wife and I will sit there for a little bit. But what blows me away, and it's a rarity, is when a musician touches your soul, and then you leave, and the wife wakes up the next day and makes you coffee and goes, you know, I'm still happy about last night.
Right.
So Eric Clapton once said this, and I love it. There's a better guitar player right there in the corner of the Villas. We're facing the Villas apartment complex. There's a better guitar player living right there at the Villas. There's a better singer. There's a better entertainer. There's a more comedic person. So when you look at that, that kind of keeps your ego kind of in check, I hope. And ego is a big thing. You can't be an artist without some sort of ego. You have to believe in yourself to get up there. But what the most fun thing for me is, as I was saying, the wife gets up and makes coffee the next day and just says, you know, my goodness, what a great memory that was last night. I can't believe they talked me into coming up there and singing Lady Gaga. And then as we did that night, you know, we had a guest singer sing Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga with me. But I think if you boil it all down to whether you own a restaurant, a print business, you own a gas station, no matter what business you own, if people come there for the feeling they get when they come there, you have surpassed the challenge of the business, if you know what I mean.
Right. Everything else gravy after that.
Everything is icing on the cake or gravy after that.
Oh, fantastic. So give us some of your background. So Boston, Steve, you've been in Boston then. Where else have you been? What have your travels been throughout life?
Well, started off as a young man in a small town in the state of Maine, and graduating class of 72. Not much to talk about there. And then had a variety of jobs. Went into the military. Actually played for the Air Force for a little bit. Got out, had a bucket list, executed a lot of that bucket list. Some interesting things like teaching at a high school, selling cars, because I always had problems with new and used car salesmen. I wondered what makes these guys tick. So, you know, an old thought that my grandfather taught me from long ago is, before you say anything, walk a mile in that person's shoes. Yeah, there you go. So, you know, I kind of did that stuff. And then to bring it up to speed, moved to North Dakota first, Dickinson, North Dakota. Not much there, but I got to meet a person, and I'm thinking that it's better not to use names, but what a wonderful guy this was, young guy. And there was a concert there called Alive at 5, and what that was every Thursday, odd Thursdays, they shut down downtown Dickinson and did a street concert. And he got up there to introduce me, and this is just bringing up to speed. I've been playing off and on since I was 14, but I gave it up many, many times. I pursued more careers than I did my music. And to all the musicians out there, I want to tell you right now, I regret that. I wish I would have pursued my love more than my logic. Let me say that one more time. Pursued my love more than my logic. I could have lived on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to do the love. But anyway, I'm up in Dickinson, and I don't remember. I had the privilege and honor of opening for Gwen Sebastian, Cat Perkins, Tiger Lily, Cord Lon, Joe Diffie, even while I was up in North Dakota. But this friend of mine who saw me play one time and I did an introduction to the blues, I was playing all 1920s, 1930 blues, he said, I want you to open up at Alive at 5. And we had a couple thousand people there that particular gig, and he gets up there. And we had done, you know what a green room is, Dave, right?
Yes.
Set up for the musicians backstage. So we had a green room, and we're back there, and again, no names, I won't say who, but a bottle of tequila came out, and we all had a little bit of tequila. Well, this particular young gentleman could not remember that I was from the state of Maine or my real name, which is now irrelevant, but he couldn't remember any of that. But he could remember that I parked the car in the garage, nice. And I go fishing in the harbor. And I say potato, tomato, and so he goes, ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome? And then there's this deafening 3 to 5 second pause, and then he goes, Boston Steve. And ever since then, I've tried to change the name a few times, and I've thought of other more clever names like Whit Heidekit, which is just an acronym for What Is the Truth? And how do you know it is the truth? And I thought that was clever, and I liked it, and it was unique. And you don't find it on YouTube or anywhere. And I'm still using that, but it's probably going to go away, because no matter who I meet in the last 3 years here in Sioux Falls and 2 years, almost 3 years in North Dakota, when I run into someone who's seen me before, it's never Steve or, hey, what are you going by now? And it's, hey, Boston, how you doing? So there's a brief history of Boston Steve. The only other thing I'd add to it is probably started playing bass guitar when I was like 14. Guitar player quit, so I learned guitar. Vocalist quit, so I learned vocals. Played, had a little fun for a few years, and then the band broke up. And then music from that point on has always been a hobby, so to speak, until I won a recording contest. And had some nice things happen in my life. You know, get those breaks that musicians hope for, but I didn't want, once I got into the music business a little, I have to say this, and I already know you know this, Dave, and probably your audience knows this, but when you get into the business and you're up and coming, they're not only going to tell you what to wear, they're going to tell you what to say, how to act, how to look. By the way, Steve, you don't look good from the left side, but you look better from the right side, so we're always going to shoot you from the right side. Well, after about 10 minutes of that, Dave, I realized I was in the wrong arena, okay?
You're not one for an image consultant.
Well said, Dave, well said. And it just kind of took the, you know, the reason you do this podcast, I'm certain, you love doing what you're doing.
I
do. See it in you. I see Absolutely. The twinkle in your eyes. I see the smile on your face. I see your posture. You have joy. This is your baby. And I realized, that's not my baby. And then my goal became, you know, if I could just write songs and someone would record one and I get a royalty check in the mail and I live in nowhere land, South Dakota, I'm happy. So there's my music take in a nutshell.
All right. I'm going to throw a little, well, first of all, we will tell you that we don't have to worry about the copyright of the music in the background, because that's coming from the Barrel House.
Correct.
They've got that paid for. So Apple, Spotify, as you're listening and monitoring, we're not going to worry about this now, are we, kids?
No. Good. Let's go one step further.
All right.
I'd like to extend a personal hello and thank you to BMI, ASCAP, and CSEC, which are the three big hitters in the musical licensing field. Thank you for what you do, and please keep on doing what you do, and try not to pick on the little guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Little plug, shameless plug there, Dave, for the musicians.
But when it comes to music, here's one of my favorite things. Because I was in radio for 25-plus years, and anytime somebody finds out I have been, and I've told this story multiple times on this show, but I love telling it, and it's such a good part of what music can do for you. When anybody finds out, they always, first thing is they say, what's your favorite music? Not realizing that quite a bit of my time I was in either talk or news or sports, what have you, a lot of public service type stuff and so forth. So I've never wavered from the answer, good. And
Four letters, one word. That's real good, Dave. You must have thought about that.
Well, here's how it all came about. It's been probably 7 or 8 years now, I think. My high school band teacher passed away, and about a week before he passed, I was able to see him in the local hospital. And They had done a biopsy in his mouth that day, so he couldn't speak. He could smile and twinkle his eyes and so forth. And I told him that story. I said, Tom, I there's two things I want to tell you. And first I told him this story, that, you know, anytime somebody finds out that I've been radio, what's your favorite music, I always tell them good. And I say, and I thank you for that, because you taught us every type of genre that was available. And, you know, I did not grow up listening to big band music, but I love it because I got to play it. And there are, you know, new genres that have come along since I was in high school that I don't necessarily care for. But if I find a good tune in it, I go, that's really well done. And so that was the first thing. The other thing was, I said, you know, of all the things that I received in high school, because I grew up in a small town not far from here, Rock Rapids, a little community of just over 2,000. And in a high school that size, graduating class less than 100, you were in sports, you were in band, you were in plays, musicals, everything extracurricular you could be. I said, there's only one thing I have left. Letterman's jacket, gone. Any medals, any ribbons, stuff like that, gone. But I have my Louis Armstrong Jazz Award that you gave me as a senior, and that is prominently displayed in my home. And that is the best thing that I was able to tell him. I got a smile, and that was the last I saw him. But just what an influence music can be. And then a friend of mine that's also been on this show before, Mike Hendrickson, he's a local sportscaster, but loves music. And his favorite saying is, live music is good for the soul. And when you were mentioning earlier about, you know, hey, we might not sound exactly like so-and-so that you requested, but there is something about live music. And when you can go and know that, and here's the thing that I'm finding, and tell me if you're seeing this too, as somebody that actually performs it, is that as I go now to see someone like you or someone else that they're playing tons of requests of all genres, I'm finding I like it better than when I just go home and listen to the actual artist. Are you getting a sense of that?
Oh no, I totally agree with you, you know, Dave. And when you say music for the soul, it's odd you say that. One of the things, you know, I'll talk to the genre thing in just a second, but one of the things I love the most is I love to play in the nursing homes. And bear with me, because my memory at my age is not all that good, but this Alive Inside, I believe, is the name of a movie. And it's a movie about patients with Alzheimer's or dementia, the precursor to Alzheimer's. And, excuse me, from playing in the nursing homes, it's funny because one particular time it stands out to me, there was a lady that had a stroke on one side of her body and couldn't move that side at all. And she was kind of a little crooked, sitting in a wheelchair. And you know, if I had to describe her for me, I wish I was more of a J.R.R. Tolkien person with my words. But just looked like this really, really, really super lovable grandma sitting in this chair that you just felt kind of sad for because of the physical appearance. But anyway, it's odd. Louis Armstrong, what a wonderful world.
Oh, yeah.
They said she didn't move much at all. She started singing the words, and she knew every one of them. So I looked into it a little more, and that movie's all about inside, the last thing to go in Alzheimer's patients is the music, and it takes them to a place. Yes, it takes them to a place. And now what's funny with that, being talking about genres, one of the things I try to avoid personally in my show is, if I play Prince, I don't try to sound exactly like Prince. I don't want you to think Prince is up there, but I want you to get enough of Prince along with a piece of my soul where you say, hey, that was fun listening to it. But then if you come and you set and you hear me do seven songs and I'm covering a variety of genres, to me the most disappointing thing when I judge myself that I do is if I feel like I'm sounding alike or kind of dronish. In other words, when you go from one genre to another, it should be effortlessly, it should be a piece of yourself in there, but it should also be authentic to the genre. And when I say I play all genres, this is funny because I have to admit to you, when someone asks for rap or hip-hop, I go, okay. But I don't do Eminem, and I don't do any of the, you know, current artists. Mm-hmm. What I usually do, and you saw me do it, is I'll just have a little fun in the microphone. I'll go like that. And then I'll just write words about someone in the audience and rap it and rhyme it as quickly as I can. And sometimes I step on my toes, sometimes I don't. But what's always, here's the point in this whole conversation. What's always fun is when you do the genre with personal authenticity, I believe that comes right straight through to the audience. And that's an important feature. Right. And when I looked at you and your wife, or you saw me, I looked at the crowd. And when those girls from, were you there when the ladies from Minnesota came through the door? I don't remember.
I can't recall.
Oh, my goodness. These two girls stopped in from Minnesota, and they just had a time of life. And they made some requests and stuff, and they were just tickle pink that we would take the request, but then they loved the interpretation. And there, I guess that's the word I was looking for, the interpretation. Some people, you shouldn't, I've heard renditions of Bob Seger's Turn the Page that should have never went public, in my opinion. You should have kept that to yourself, because you didn't do your band, and you didn't do an asset, you did it a detriment, right? But when the interpretation is good and the authenticity is there, the audience senses that, and I don't know any other better words to say that. And that audience sense, it's everything, Dave. That's everything. And I don't believe you can fool an audience.
True.
So, and that's a, you know, that's a tough thing for a lot of us. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to go 3, 2, 1. We're going to take a short break and be right back with you.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tootie provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XL Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19.
Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this podcast.
Once upon a time, a broadcaster and columnist. Now, a podcaster and blogger. Either way, the mirth and merriment continue with Dave Holly.
Welcome back, Weekend Eve. Such a fun time, because Thursday is the day that things start popping for the weekend. And why not go ahead and celebrate it with a cocktail and some live music? You can do so tonight at the Barrel House, because Boston Steve, our guest that we've been talking with this afternoon, whatever time you're listening, might be midnight you're listening to this podcast. It's a beauty of a podcast. And you can then also think, so it's midnight and I'm getting ready to go to bed and they're talking about having a bourbon. Yes, we are. We've been having bourbon, but we also have been having a great conversation just talking about the music industry and what it's been for Boston Steve. And so you're going to be here at the Barrel House. And then you're also the house band now. H2O is the house band at Books and Brews. You play a variety of things musically, but you also play variety in terms that you've got a solo set. And then you've got a band. When you go into each of those, what's the different approach? Or is it still that same, I'm just going to go up and have fun?
That's a great question.
I try to lead off with those, you know.
Can you guys tell out there in the audience? I mean, I wish you could all be sitting here with us, sipping a bourbon on such a beautiful day. Sun was out, then it went back. But, you know, as I look around Sioux Falls, it's a cloudy day, overcast, but the pretty colors in the sky. Dave has on this real, he upstaged me with a Hawaiian shirt today, but I'm having Hawaiian shirt envy. But I would say When I play solo, the thing I enjoy the most is I hear every little nuance that I do on my instrument or I choose not to do. I love what David Gilmour of Pink Floyd said one time. It's not so much what you play, it's where you choose not to play. And many musicians have said that. So when I play solo, I try to be acutely aware that it's just me up there and it gives me a ton of room to move around. Now, just like Dave, when you slow dance with your wife, and I'm assuming you slow dance with your wife every
yes.
chance you get. Am I correct
do.
On that? She's a beautiful woman, ladies and gentlemen.
And by the way, our best memory of a slow dance, we were on Fremont Street in Las Vegas under the whole light show deal.
Yeah.
Bye Bye American Pie.
Oh my goodness. Don McLean. What, 12 minutes maybe?
Yeah.
Long song.
Very long song. Long slow dance.
See?
Continue, sir.
See? Oh, no, we're good. This is like, you know, it's fun to do these. I have to give you another plug here. You can obviously tell by the quality of Dave's voice. They call it radio quality. I used to run a radio station, WBMT, in Massachusetts for high school. And when I look for kids, they all said, gee, do I have a radio voice? And I said, get off that. What you need first is a personality.
True.
The voice will come. Right, Dave?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, get back to it. So the solo thing, I have the distinct honor of playing at the Oh So Good restaurant an awful lot. And that's in Garrettson, South Dakota. Head chef Omar Thornton, sous chef Nicholas, wonderful people. Server Brianna. The reason I say their name is because if you go there, it's going to be an awesome experience. When I play there, I play solo a lot. Sometimes Dan Haygood sets in on the sax. But when I play solo, you can't blame anyone else if a mistake is made. And the freedom you have playing solo is unbelievable. So as I asked you about slow dancing, as soon as I bring in one other musician, the game changes. Because are they really listening to the song? Or are they trying to showcase their musical ability?
Mm-hmm.
Or have they been cramped up in a house for so long with this COVID-19 that they don't know how to hold back at all and they're just blowing or playing as many notes as they can? So as you add other musicians to the mix, the sensitivity of each musician becomes more obvious. So if you're a musician that focuses on playing the song, gee, he's playing Prince's Purple Rain. He's not playing at tempo. He slowed it a little. He's not playing it exactly like Prince would. He's allowing a lot of holes in the music. What holes am I going to choose to fill? When am I going to choose to fill them? And that's most musicians play more often than they should. I'll relate to this one simple story. So when Adele won the British Music Award, she came out by herself with, I believe, a pianist on a Steinway, full grand piano. So here's just Adele and this pianist. And I listened, and that was a changing point for me because I went, you know what? You really, the vocals are first and foremost, that's what tells the story. If the vocals are pleasant, then the background music is the boat that keeps you from sinking in the water, but it's not what's at hand. So, to answer your question, to me, solo is probably the most challenging. Sometimes it can be the most fun, but what causes me to rise to the occasion is what you witnessed when I got to play with Victor and Dan, two other musicians on stage, and what's constantly going through my brain personally is, how do I set them up so they sound good when they take a lead?
Mm-hmm.
And how good are they in supporting what I'm trying to do vocally or with the audience? And that is a chemistry. Just like I know why you married your wife. I'm not going to tell you, but I know why you married your wife. It was obvious in the first 60 seconds I saw you on that couch.
That's a great compliment. Thank you.
Oh, no, sir. It's a deserved compliment. It's not smoke and mirrors. But it's that way with musicians. Why do musicians like Eric Clapton, why did he go through so many players, so many bands? Is it because nobody was good enough to play with him? Not so. He played with a lot of players better than he was. But he was constantly searching for that chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't get me wrong, Dave. I'm not trying to promote that in a personal relationship between a man and a woman. When you get married, there's a commitment there that should go with it. But in the music business, I mean, you look for that. You look not to play the song flawlessly. So what? You can play Rush note for note. You haven't impressed me at all. But play Rush and play it your own way as a group of musicians, and everybody's sharing the spotlight, and you're tossing the ball around, and there's what I call magical chemistry, the MC. The Master of Ceremonies is what it's supposed to stand for, but I call it the magical chemistry. And then I'd throw a question at you, Dave, you know, and I don't know if you guess through this very often, but When you go out, when you and the wife go out to see any concert, from just a local solo artist to a super big national act and touring, what do you look for as a member of the audience?
I want to make sure that they play something that I relate to. If it's someone like Bob Seger was here, he's been here a few times. One of the best concerts I've seen. Two encores of four songs each. Encore. Phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Great stories about the musicians that were involved in it, how long they've been with the Silver Bullet Band, and so forth. So in a concert like that, I'm looking for the memory. Styx, when I finally saw them at the age of 50-something, long overdue for that concert, it made me cry like a 17-year-old.
Yep.
That's what I look like. I look to be moved. I look to be related to. That's why, you know, some of the genres, there aren't going to be many songs that I like, despite the fact that I like good music. There's some that I respect. I respect the artists sometimes. It took me a long time to like a lot of Michael Jackson. There were some songs that came along that I liked and spoke to me. But for me, there are many artists that in the upper 50s, age-wise, I now go, that was a good song. That was really a great song. So for me, it's how am I moved? That's what I want to hear, and that is whether it's just a solo, stand-up, a guitar, and a microphone, or I'm going to see, you know, like the Haig Brothers Holiday Jam when there's double digits of them on stage. I want to be moved.
See that, ladies and gentlemen? So to paraphrase that, in my opinion, and we all have opinions, so take anything I've said on this broadcast with a grain of salt. If you don't like it, throw it out. If it helps you at all, hang on to it.
Right.
But what Dave just said to me is he makes it personal. And I believe it was Nile Rodgers. It could, and it might not have been Nile Rodgers, but I really think it was. And he said, when a musician performs and they perform well, they're giving you 100%+ of what they have. And what Dave just said to me is when he goes to a concert, he's giving 100% of what he has to listen. And the listener plays an equal role with the performer. If you go and you just want background music, no matter how good it is, it might not touch you. But when the music is good, what's funny to me, touching on the genre thing, revisiting that again, is if I play some of my best songs, Happy Together by the Turtles, requested all the time, Prince's Purple Rain, my interpretation. But when I do Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, a lot of times I do it by myself. I look to see how I know I'm doing it well is if you like they say you can hear a pin drop or the audience is really paying attention. But I've had people say to me before, you know, you didn't get my attention until you did Hallelujah. But then once you got it, I started listening to a little bit more of what you're doing. So what I'm kind of piggybacking on what Dave said. If you get a genre that you may not care for, but the musician is good at their presentation, here's a better way to say it. Let me retract all that. Good music is good music, regardless of the genre, regardless of the age or color of skin of the artist that performs it. Good music is good music. Richie Havens played at Woodstock, and he couldn't play a single guitar chord. The guitar had to be to an open tuning, and he used his thumb and first finger. Yet, over 500,000 people, standing ovation. Encore for Richie Havens. So I don't think the genre is as important as the presentation, so to speak. I don't know how you feel about that, Dave, but I think how that's done, you know, like I listen to Louis Armstrong
totally
and I go, if you ever watch Louis's videos, my God, that man reeked happiness. If you think he was up there faking it to make you think he was happy,
that was passion.
That was pure passion. And when Louis got that growly voice going, you know what I mean? It was just.
I see trees of green,
red roses too. Yeah, brother. See that? Oh my goodness! How can you sit still when that's going on? When I see someone in the audience, if somebody's doing that Louis song and they're doing it well, and I happen to look around the room and I see somebody just not moved by it, I want to go give them $100 bill and say, "Let me get you dinner and find some passion in your life." You know what I mean?
Oh, my. Well, it's funny. You talked about that just, you know, leading up to this is the fact that, yeah, there are genres that I don't necessarily care for or songs that I might not care for as they're on the radio. Then I hear them live by, you know, a duo, somebody on guitar, somebody on piano.
Absolutely.
I go, my God, that's a great song. But I think our ears are so tuned to what's quote-unquote produced.
Correct.
You know, as you were talking, like the image consultant type thing, the same goes for the actual music part, that there's a producer that says, no, I want this, I want that. No, let's be, and they overmix and they overdub and everything else that goes along with it. But you go out and you hear somebody and you can actually see that somebody's playing that guitar, somebody's playing those keyboards instead of a synth thing on a computer being put in there, or a drum beat being put in there. You actually see somebody and they're whaling on the drums when they get the chance for their drum solo. That stuff is pure.
Right, that's the
that's what's going to move you.
We musicians call that the real deal, and if you're out there listening, please don't get mad at me. I'm all for auto tuners if you need them, or lots of pedals on the floor, or effects. And some people, the effects are what makes the musician. You know, Bono from U2 wouldn't be who Bono is without those very guitar effects that he used, but he took them to a new level. Within the past probably 8 to 10 years, auto tuners, which correct for your voice, and probably I will call it, you know, background sync tracks, whatever you want to call it, or a click track. I mean, that has dominated music, and that's one of the reasons why when you were out the other night, and I love it when people come up and they want to see my gear, and I'll just put a plug in for the gear, because Dan Haygood blows sax, clarinet, trumpet, muted trumpet, all straight into a microphone with no effects at all. Victor plays a Nord keyboard, and of course he uses what the keyboard has, but we need that for the Hammond V3 sound, the grand piano sound, and all that. But I play a little $400 Mini Martin guitar into a Fishman amp that's broken with a speaker missing, into a $300 Behringer 15 with a horn on top. And I didn't stumble on that deliberately, Dave. I stumbled on that because one day most of my stuff was broken and I had to play out. And when I did that, I said, oh my goodness, I love the way an acoustic guitar all by itself sounds. No chorus, no flange, no delay, no heavy reverb, no heavy echo. And my personal opinion only is, when I go out to hear a musician, I love to hear that clean Strat sound of Robert Cray, or that nice acoustic sound when Eric Clapton played Unplugged on MTV. You know, Tears in Heaven is a beautiful song I play, and to put a lot of effects on that song, I think you ruin it. It's just like a chef with a recipe. You know, the chefs I know in town. By the way, I want to definitely stop right here for 1 second. Chef Lance was phenomenal. Dave hit the nail right on the head with that. If you get a chance to come to Brooks and Brews when Chef Lance is putting out a meal, him and Omar Thornton, Oh So Good Restaurant, those two chefs right there, if I could have them come to my house and make breakfast every morning free for the rest of my life, I died and went to heaven.
But you won lucky for life.
I would be totally lucky for life. But, you know, everything Dave and I are talking about today, and by the way, this isn't a canned conversation. There's no script in front of either one of us. We're just two gentlemen chatting at a table with some fine whiskey in front of us. What we're trying to do, or I shouldn't speak for Dave. It's up to Dave to say, you know, what he's thinking. But I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to just perhaps give you a different perspective, not so much enlighten you. You're probably already enlightened, but if anything we said helps you to enjoy music more, mm-hmm. It's not about me being, you know, an up-and-coming artist or new to Sioux Falls, or me playing more clubs in Sioux Falls. And it's certainly not about Dave going back and being the next Howard on radio. You know what I mean? This is about trying to have a little fun between two old guys. And I won't tell you our ages. Do we want to do that, Dave?
No, we don't.
We don't.
No.
But it's all about having fun. And on that note, I just want to encourage you. You have no idea the power you have when you go out in Sioux Falls and spend just one moment of your life listening to one song by one live musician.
Well said. So what do you like to listen to? When you go out, you and your wife want to take a night off, you're not playing anywhere, what are you looking for?
Now, that's interesting. We've been to Brazilian Grill, seen some of the jazz artists there. We've seen, anyone who's listening that's a musician probably knows they've seen me once, at least once, listen to them, and they probably were maybe a little upset because one of the things I did is I wanted to find out where I fall within the herd, just like horses do, what's the pecking order. So I videotaped everyone I've seen. At my house right now, I have over 300 videos, some as short as 1 minute, some as long as 6 or 7, but different artists in town. And we both talk about what we like in a musician. And I'll say this to you, because Willie Waldman came here from... Willie Waldman's one of the best trumpet players alive in the world. Anyway, he came to the Phoenix Lounge, and I was part of the band that he selected to play for him. And he's an improv artist. So he goes, I might give you the key, I might not. I might tell you the tempo, I might not. So it's like you grab your wife and you say, hey, we're going to slow dance, honey. And instead of you explaining to her how to dance or what the tempo is, you simply grab her hand and see if it works, right?
Very true.
So when the wife and I go out, we just look for what I want to call the real deal music. So if you're a hip hop artist and you're good at what you do, that's good. Now, let me caveat that a little and just say this. If you're an up-and-coming hip-hop artist or an up-and-coming country artist or an up-and-coming rock, or blues is what I love the most, and the wife agrees with me. We've seen some of the best blues acts, and I had the distinct honor of opening for Buddy Guy, and that was an unbelievable thing. But when we go out, we look for the essence, the karma of the person that's performing. And just because they're technically not there yet in their ability to play their instrument or their ability to sing, we can still leave there touched and with a memory, as you said. I love that, with a memory. The memory is, you know, the whole nine yards. And I'll tell all you Sioux Falls musicians this. The only reason I'm capable of being even decently good at all is because every time I see you all, I steal something from every single one of you that I like about your show. Isn't that true with you, though, Dave? When you listen to a radio personality that you enjoy, right?
True.
You may say, I'm not deliberately sitting there taking notes, but I guarantee if they touched you for a moment, you're going to go, oh, I should try that.
Well, another story I've told often is my first thing out of college, I was a reporter at the Denver Broncos training camp, a cup reporter, and working at the station in Greeley, Colorado, KFKA. And that's back when the Broncos held their training camp up in Greeley at the University of Northern Colorado. So we were, quote unquote, the host radio station because we were the local. But alongside next to all the practice fields are all these RVs. We had a little trailer for our remote, a little camper, basically. All these big stations from Denver, huge, luxurious RVs.
He's talking $250,000+, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, back then even, with leather seats, air conditioning, and so forth. Well, ours was next to KHOW out of Denver, KHOW. KHOW back then had this legendary sports figure, Tony LaMonica, KHOW Sports. And there were two sessions every day, in the morning and in the afternoon. And this was a year that the Denver Broncos at that time had a few interactive practices with the Houston, the Oilers, you know, they've changed and so forth.
Correct.
So it was the Houston Oilers, and it was Warren Moon's first year with the Houston Oilers after having been in the Canadian Football League. So during the morning session, a lot of reporters were around him. And then Mike Rozier from the University of Nebraska was playing for Houston at that time. So those two, you know, pretty big names. And they got some tape on it, you know, tape back then, not digital. But Tony had missed the morning session. So after the lunch break, he stops by and he asks if I got any tape in the morning. I said, yeah. I said, I got, Rozier, and I also got Warren Moon. Oh, good. He says, why, you know, and I'm not going to use his voice anymore because it's a little rough on my voice to do it. And he was having to spend the morning in Denver because he was interviewing Terry Bradshaw.
That's, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that is, you're big league now.
Yeah. And he says, you want to swap tape? I'll give you Terry Bradshaw's if you give me Rozier and Moon. So I go over to his luxurious 65-foot thing and sit down, and he knows I'm a Cub reporter. He knows that I'm fresh out of college, and looks at me and says, do me two favors. He says, first of all, be yourself. Don't try to be anybody else. Second of all, he says, don't ever be afraid to ask a stupid question because it might get you the best answer.
See, there.
Yeah.
See, we do steal it, ladies and gentlemen.
So we do. We take things and we employ them.
Absolutely.
And that's what's so great, because, you know, one of the other things I have done, I don't do it currently because I wanted this over this past year, this has become the passion, is the podcast. But I have done a lot of improv acting with a couple of local improv groups and so forth. And that's the thing that I am really loving now when I see a musician such as yourself, the improv part.
Absolutely.
It's just whatever you can come up with.
Home run. Right,
yeah. It's funny you use that because I'm a huge baseball fan, so I love to use baseball analogies.
Yep.
And that is what I say. If I go up to somebody locally that's played a gig somewhere and I said, man, it was a home run, be very honored, because that's the highest thing I'm ever going to say about something. And you, my friend, you hit home runs.
Well, thank you for the kind words.
Yeah,
It's not, you know, I'd have to, I got a hit on something you said, because it's just stuck in my brain. Ladies and gentlemen, I love to address you, because I feel like you're part of this conversation, even though you're not sitting here. I personally just feel the audience is part of us right now, you know, if I was listening. But when Dave mentioned tape, I got to tell you something just real quick. When I won the recording contract, and I don't have the masters. I was in my foolish young days. I should have requested the masters. I should have paid for them. Ampex 2-inch tape. But when we did it, what they used to do in the old days is, like Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album, 4-track, but multi-track. So in other words, you take 2 tracks, put them together, drop them on 1 track, add another track. Dave knows all this. And then we went to 16, and that was, oh my God, you know, that was like a revelation right underneath the Bible, you know, if you want to talk about big revelations. And then we went to 32, and then 48, and then 96, and that's when digital came in, and let me think of an artist. Neil Young was kind of this way, I believe. Tom Petty, and if I'm incorrect on any of this, you don't need to critique Dave or comment on the site if I'm incorrect.
No, we'll just say, we hope Neil Young will remember.
Yes, I hope Southern Neil Young will
absolutely,
brother. Leonard Skinner at their best. But there was something magical about that tape, and when you spliced it, you couldn't edit it.
Razor blade.
You cut it with a... Dave knows. See, now you know our ages now. You just got us, ladies and gentlemen. But you cut it with a razor, and then you... Scotch tape was magical.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding you guys. That's the way we did it. Today, they will go back and say, okay, we're going to edit out 1/100th of a second right here at this one spot. And we're going to add this. And I'm not against technology. I mean, Neil Young, you know, when he did the kind of robotic album, I don't even remember the name of it, but it's just interesting when Dave mentioned tape to digital, because we live in a different society today, and I want you all to think back when Louis Armstrong did his thing, and Benny Goodman and Nat King Cole, or the early Robert Johnson tapes for those blues enthusiasts out there. I'm sorry. Must be the bourbon. I've had two now. And we're getting ready to have one more, just so you know. I'm going to tell you exactly what we had, even though our wives may object to that. There was no doctoring that. And back then, with radio personalities like Dave, you either had the radio voice or you didn't. These days, they can bass boost it, mid-range boost it. They can take somebody without that.
They can put a compressor on a microphone that'll suck the breath right out of you.
You heard it right there, ladies and gentlemen. So when you do go out, and again, there's always, I try to always have a point rather than just rambling on, but when you do go out and see a musician that sounds natural and unprocessed, almost from that tape era that Dave was talking, I'm sure Dave, let me ask Dave right now, we're going to really put him on the spot. Did you ever have an 8-track tape player in your car?
Of course, Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Now that's a Harley for sure right there, I think. let me look. That could be a hooped up Yami or a Cowie. No, she's a Harley. And I gotta ask Dave, and this is his interview, I shouldn't be doing this, but just kill, he's just such an easy guy to talk to. What was the first 8-track tape that you remember
first
buying?
First 8-track that I bought was BTO, 4-wheel drive. First album I bought.
Yep, you knew it was coming.
Grassroots.
Okay.
Greatest Hits. First 45.
Yep, now we're going back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. That's where you needed the little plastic disc to play it.
Yeah. First 45 was Herman's Hermits.
Oh, my goodness. What was the song?
I can't recall that. I just
not
remember
Mrs.
the label.
Not Mrs. Brown's You've Got a Lovely Daughter.
No, it was not. No.
Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter. We're going to stop singing for you before you turn us off. But, to me, the first 45 was the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
The first 8-track I remember distinctly because I played it so long I had to throw it away. It was Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, Four-Way Street, right? And the first long-playing album, it was one of two. It was either Jethro Tull's stand-up album or... I would be
flute.
Proud to say it was Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
Uh-huh.
But I wore that vinyl out. And for those vinyl enthusiasts that are out there today, if you don't think Dave and I understand the beauty of laying a needle onto a vinyl LP at the beginning and letting it play all the way through, Dave and I get that.
Exactly. And then, of course, having been in radio for many years, queuing it up and spinning it backwards.
Oh, that's right. You guys actually had to pick. Did you do individual songs off LPs?
Oh, yeah.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah.
So you had to get it right in that.
Normally it was a 45, but sometimes it would be an album.
So you had to get the groove.
Had to get the groove.
And not drop it because it would bounce.
Yeah.
And then you'd backspin it long before the hip-hop DJs did it.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a scratching thing back then. It was you would move it so that when you hit it, it had time to get up to speed. So you had to go about a half revolution, typically. Past where the first note was.
That's interesting.
A half revolution backward.
Okay. And hold it.
Hold it. So then when you let it go, it was up to speed and starting up.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I could have
done that. Yeah, it was quite the ordeal.
See, and today, all you guys out there that are listening, all you got to do is, and I don't know how this works really, I'm not really, but Spotify or Apple, whatever, you download it, and then I think, don't you own it, Dave?
Yeah.
Is that what happens? So you pay 99 cents or whatever it is.
99 cents.
Per song.
Or you can do like with Spotify, you can have a monthly membership, and you can download anything. But then if you stop your monthly membership, anything you downloaded isn't there anymore. It's over and done with at that point.
Okay, so just so you guys know out there in Radio Land, we have a wonderful service bartender here today. She does not have a name tag on, so I can't tell you, but tattoos, blue gloves, and a mask, Barrel House.
Oh, that's Barrel House, yeah.
And I'm going to let Dave answer this question on behalf of the two of us, because she just said, would you two handsome gentlemen like another beverage?
That she did. And, of course, the answer is yes.
Well, duh.
Mine is a Crown Royal and water, please.
Of course it is.
All right. And that is it for us. But
great.
Boston Steve, thank you so much.
Honor's mine.
And it's been a pleasure. And you will be back. Trust me. I know that you will be a repeat guest on this show.
I'll tell you what.
If nothing else, for the bourbon.
I'll tell you what. He sucks all the life right out of me. No matter what I do, he upstages me. He came dressed better than I was last night. He's got a better radio voice. He's got on a better Hawaiian shirt. He's drinking a double, and I'm drinking a single. I don't know what it is with this guy, but I hope you listen to him and support him. And if you like what he's doing, send him a comment, because that is what we all look for. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
And thank you again, Boston Steve. And go out and support him as well. We'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself, too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thanks again to Boston Steve for being my guest this week. Thank you to the Barrel House for lending us their patio to conduct that conversation. And by the way, the Jasper Newton was good that day. Thank you for listening. There are some virtual shows taking place yet on Facebook Live tonight, including Elizabeth Hunstead, hosted by Posh Boutique, the JAS Quintet, hosted by R. Wine Bar as part of the Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues Society's virtual concert series, plus some artists starting to get back to doing some live gigs. Keeping social distancing in place for the time being. We will keep you posted on that. Also, just, you know, take a look on Facebook. You will find plenty of events going on yet in the arts and entertainment community of the Sioux Empire. By the way, it's sounding like the Ruggedly Handsome Trivia Host will be back live, not virtual. Keep checking the Dave Holly Hour Facebook page for updates. Also, check out the website, DaveHollyHour.com. Thanks again for listening. It's been my pleasure. Remember, for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.